Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We got a lot to get into in the final hour of the show. We're going to play a best of Cordell Woodland. He covers the Ravens. We'll do that for you coming up in about 30 minutes or so. I want you to hear the other team's opinion heading into this matchup. We'll also play for you guys what Andy Heck had to say. He is the offensive line coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was asked questions about Jawan Taylor. So if you guys missed it right before the break, we played this audio for you guys. This was Nick Wright on First Things First. He was asked the question, who needs Sunday's game more? Is it Kansas City or Baltimore? Here's what he said.
The Chiefs would like to win. The Ravens need to win. And it like Kansas City is in a spot where once they lost their first two games and knew they had Baltimore in week four, it's like, all right, 1-3 is very possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like one and three is more than on the board here, and we have reason to believe things can get better once Rashee Rice gets back, and we have reason to believe that things on the defensive end are already trending in the right direction. I also think Kansas City has not been embarrassed this year. I thought they played really poorly in week one, and they were in it. I thought they played fine in week two as far as overall team, and I think should have, could have won that game. I don't think they left the Eagles game frustrated, angered, but not like, the hell's, you know what I mean? Yeah. What the hell's wrong with us? I think Baltimore has been in two different ways embarrassed this year, and the one win they had, I don't think they felt great about. Like, the losing to Buffalo the way they did, maybe embarrassing is the wrong word, but concerning.
It was just disheartening.
Disheartening,
I mean,
sure.
They gave that
and
one away.
Having Detroit run all over you the way they did in your building and kind of, you know, more alpha male you in a football sense can be demoralizing. And for that team with that DNA, as you talk about, embarrassing.
So that was Nick Wright on First Things First. I think there's two different sides of this argument. I think there is the psychological side of this argument where the Ravens are 1-5 against Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens have already lost to the Buffalo Bills. So you've already lost to one of the other contenders in the AFC. It's a really bad space to be where you lose to both of those contenders. We talked about this right before the break. If you're going to play the Chiefs, you would agree that this is the right time to catch Kansas City. They don't have their full offense. They're coming in a little bit wounded. Xavier Worthy's coming back. We'll get to his numbers, but this is his first game of the season. You don't have your number one pass catching option. The run game has kind of struggled to get going. Like, the Chiefs are not where we think they're going to be in 3 weeks, in 6 weeks, in 9 weeks. So if you're going to pick a time where you got to play Kansas City, well, would you rather play him in week four or in week 14? I think everybody around the league would agree this is a good time to play the Kansas City Chiefs. So from the psychological standpoint, I understand why this game really means something for Baltimore. We got to figure out a way to get a win in this one. We leave the month 2-2. We lost to Buffalo and Detroit, but we did go on the road and beat Kansas City. We're at 500. Our division is still very obtainable. You can kind of exhale a little bit if you're the Ravens. On the flip side, for the Chiefs, I think this game matters more for the Chiefs than I think it matters for the Ravens because of a schedule reason. Now, I understand that some of you don't take the Chargers maybe as seriously as I take them. Maybe I'm overestimating them. Maybe you're underestimating them. Only time is going to be able to tell. But the Chargers have a significant advantage right now, being 3-0 and having a head-to-head win over the Chiefs and every other team in their division. The Chargers this week, they play the New York Giants. The Giants are starting a rookie quarterback. I don't really think that's a good team. I'm also not really sure if Malik Nabers is going to play. They just lost their starting running back. Like, the Giants have a lot of problems right now. This is a great time to play the Giants. What I don't think you want to do is, when by the time you get Rashee Rice back, you're a 2-4, maybe 1-5 football team, and now you're looking up at a Chargers team that is 5-1, and you really, really got to get going if that's the case. That's not the life that the Ravens have. The Ravens are in a very different kind of division. The Browns are a bad football team. I don't care what happened last week at home against the Packers. The Browns at most are winning 5, maybe 6 games. So they're not a factor. Cincinnati. Hey, if Cincinnati makes the postseason, you got to tip your cap. And Jake Browning is about to make himself a lot of money because I don't think they're getting Joe Burrow back at any point this season. So they got a long way to go with the backup quarterback. And I think we all have the same feelings about Pittsburgh. I've seen this movie with Pittsburgh. Different quarterback, same channel. Pittsburgh will get off to a decent start. They'll start off the year 6-4, and we'll debate on whether or not they're a contending team or not. And next thing we know, we'll blink our eyes. They'll be 8-9, 9-8, and they'll be hovering around being a wild card team. So I think Baltimore, from a division standpoint, is just in a much better situation. We mentioned the Chargers and the Broncos. I know you can play the shoulda, coulda, woulda. Man, the Broncos lost a game because they committed a penalty on a missed field goal and their opponent got a second chance at kicking it and missing it. Like, we could very easily be talking about the Chiefs being behind both the Chargers and the Broncos in the division. We're also talking about a division last year that had 2 playoff teams. So I think if you were looking at it from a standings and your ability to catch up to your opponents, I think this game is far more important for the Chiefs than it is for the Ravens because of the AFC West versus the AFC North. If you're looking at it from a psychological standpoint of the mental aspect of the game, I think it's far more important for the Ravens to win this than the Chiefs. If the Chiefs don't win their division, they're confident enough at coach and quarterback and the infrastructure. They know they can go on the road and beat just about anybody as long as they're healthy and playing good football heading into the postseason. I don't know how you can feel that if you're the Ravens. I've seen the Chiefs go on the road and beat the Bills in a playoff game. I've seen the Chiefs go on the road and beat the Ravens in a postseason game. You feel good about your chances of doing that. I don't know how you can feel that way if you're the Ravens based on how you've played in the postseason the last four or five years or so.
So we see this very much the same. And I kind of came to the conclusion live in real time throughout the show because when we first talked about this earlier in the show and we played Nick's clip, I had the thought, man, Nick's crazy. What is he talking about? And we took calls, and some of the callers echoed Nick's statement. And I thought, what? How is everyone seeing it so differently than me? And I came to the realization, it's now a question of what matters more as a person who watches football. Do you think the psychological matters more? And the fact that the Chiefs absolutely have the Ravens and the Bills, for that matter, in absolute mental prison. The Chiefs just... they have something mentally over those teams. Do you believe that, hey, the mental edge is more important and it's more important for the Ravens to win this week so they can get over that psychological factor and maybe feel like, hey, we can beat this team? Or are you the type of person that says, looks at it and says, hey, the wins and losses matter the most to me. And the Chiefs falling to 1-3 with a loss in the division and maybe their division rival being 4-0 by the time we get to Monday's show and you now lost to Baltimore on top of that, so the one seed race gets pretty dire straits. Like, that's a worse spot to be in. That is the conversation. Do you care more about the standings or the mental edge? For me, I lean towards standings, so I believe this is a bigger game for the Chiefs. And I believe that because I think even if the Ravens are able to beat the Chiefs on Sunday, that mental edge the Chiefs have over the Ravens will continue to exist because once they start spray painting the word playoffs on the fields, the Chiefs, that's when they have the mental just, you know, absolute dominance over these teams, because we've seen the Ravens and the Bills beat the Chiefs in regular season before. We've seen it happen many a time, and it doesn't happen in January. So I agree with you. I disagree with Nick. I'm going to lean toward the standings matter more, so Chiefs are a more must-win type of energy for Sunday.
Yeah, the Chiefs, I think, and this is playing it way out. Obviously, we don't know how this is going to go, but the Chiefs, if they make the postseason and they're not the AFC West winner, but they're playing well, it's going to be like some of those John Calipari teams. You remember those John Calipari teams in like the 2010s? Like, they'd be the 7 seed or the 8 seed. Remember that year they went to the Final Four as the 8 seed, and then Wichita State was their number? Like, that's how people are going to look at the Chiefs. Yes, they're not their usual 1 seed, 2 seed, but nobody wants the Chiefs in their bracket. I think that's how they'll be. I don't know if you'll feel that way about the Ravens if the Ravens end up being a 10-7 wild card team. I don't know if you're going to have that same fear of them when talking about their ability to make a run, not having a home playoff game, where we've seen Kansas City has accomplished that. Here's what Adam Schefter, he thinks that the pressure is on the Ravens on Sunday as well.
This sets up a matchup between a flat, unimpressive Chiefs team and a Baltimore team that's lost 2 of its first 3 games at Buffalo, at home against Detroit, in Kansas City on Sunday. And as you mentioned, the loser goes to 1-3. Now, the pressure here, I think, rises on Lamar Jackson a little bit. This is the 7th time that the Chiefs and Ravens have met, and Patrick Mahomes has beaten Lamar Jackson 5 of those 6 games. The Chiefs are 5-1 against the Ravens in their last 6. This is the 7th meeting between the 2-time MVPs, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. The Ravens have lost 2 straight road games, too, which is a little odd. They don't lose very often like that. And they have looked vulnerable on defense. Nnamdi Matabike, their defensive tackle, has got a neck injury. And the Lions seem to exploit that on Monday night. And the Ravens' pass rush got 0 sacks on Monday night. 0. 0 turnovers. Like, this is a defense that usually thrives on that. And they did not do any of that right now.
I don't think you can really undersell how important of a swing game this is for either side. What it means for the Chiefs to be 2-2 heading into this matchup. What it means for the Ravens to be 2-2 heading into this matchup. It allows both sides to exhale and breathe a little bit. If you are the Chiefs, you got through a difficult month of September, but Rashee Rice is right around the corner. He's back in the building. You got Xavier Worthy back. You feel like you can kind of get some momentum going with this offense. If you're the Ravens, you got through the most difficult part of your schedule. I don't have the Ravens schedule memorized the way that I do the Chiefs schedule, but they played Buffalo, Detroit, and Kansas City in the first 4 weeks of the season. You can't really create a much more difficult path than that. So whichever team comes out of this thing 2-2 is going to put themselves in a really, really good spot heading into the 2nd month of the NFL season. All right, we'll talk about Xavier Worthy, and I'll give you some stats about what it means to potentially have him back. Hit it, Rob.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
CDOT, before we get to those Xavier Worthy stats, as he was a full participant in practice today, I want you to know the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, so let me give you guys these numbers on Xavier Worthy, and it goes without saying, this is big for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to get back their best and most important skill position player from last season. They have not had Xavier Worthy this season. He has 1 carry. He doesn't have a catch so far this season. He was hurt on the first offensive drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. So they have not had their number one leading receiver from last year. That is a massive improvement for this team. It now changes everybody's role on this team. It opens things up potentially for Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. It opens things up for Tyquan Thornton. You've got another big play down the field home run threat when it comes to Xavier Worthy. You cannot undersell how important it is for Kansas City to have him back on the roster. Let me give you the numbers. Xavier Worthy, in his last 10 games that he has started and finished, so removing the Chargers game, also removing the Week 17, Week 18 game against the Broncos, that we all acknowledge is just a weird game to count when it comes to statistics. Xavier Worthy, over his last 10 games, has 76 targets for 58 catches for 679 yards and 6 touchdowns. If you average that out, that's around 6 catches for 70 yards a game. The Chiefs could desperately use somebody that has that ability, a big play, game-changing kind of player. I have been saying this. Explosive plays come from explosive players, and the Chiefs right now, they just don't have a lot of them in their offense. They are on the verge of adding one of those players to their offense, and that is big for this team. Adding your best receiver, adding a guy that obviously knows the system, knows the scheme, and I also think this is a little bit different. We're talking about a guy who has been practicing for the last couple of weeks, also went through training camp. This isn't like a holdout that you're just magically getting some guy in week four. No, he has been around the team. He's been practicing. He has only missed one practice this regular season. He missed the first Wednesday practice after the injury. Ever since then, he has been limited in some capacity, and it is now transitioned into him being a full participant in practice. So unless there is a major setback, I believe that Xavier Worthy is going to play, and the coaching staff basically confirmed that today, that they are expecting him to be out on the field, and I expect to see what that looks like on Kansas City. But again, you cannot undersell it. With a wide receiver room right now that doesn't have a lot of youth and doesn't have a lot of pop, adding a guy who's averaging around 6 catches and 70 yards and has big play ability, yards after catch ability, is just big for this offense. Speaking of the offense, I want to play a couple of cuts for you guys. This is from Andy Heck. Andy Heck is the offensive line coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. They asked him about the run game and how they can potentially get that going. Here's what he said.
We still are in the process of finding out what we're good at. We've always done a lot of different concepts. I mean, I think it's whether it's, you know, throwing formations at people, different motions, variety. I would say the same is true of scheme. We're a mid-zone team. We're an inside zone team. It might be that we're best at one of those two things, but we're going to have gap schemes. We're going to have man schemes. We're going to have specials. And so, you know, I believe in that. We will find it. We'll find out what it is we're best at. From the line standpoint, from the runner standpoint, and what's best for our team? You know, is it getting under center and rolling, or is it RPOs? And we've, you know, kind of been a big RPO team through the years.
This is just a radio host observation. I would try to eliminate any play right now for Isaiah Pacheco that requires a lot of thought. I would just try to simplify it for him. Keep it simple. You're a downhill power runner. That is what Isaiah Pacheco is. That's why he's in the National Football League. He's not a guy that you're really expecting to be that kind of dual threat. He's not a burner type. He is a guy that you were supposed to see the hole, hit the hole, run with violence, and break a tackle and turn a 4-yard play into an 8-yard play and get up and be Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know right now if that RPO game is what's the best rush attack for the running backs that you have. Maybe you end up getting those running backs, but right now that's not what you have. You got some downhill power runners. That's what Kareem Hunt is. That's what Isaiah Pacheco is right now. So I would try to simplify this thing. I would just play some old school football. Maybe the Chiefs need to go back to getting a fullback and using that. But what I would advise for their offense is I would get Pat under center. I would just turn around and hand the ball off to either Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt, where you just got to make one decision, one cut, hit the hole, and go. Because their running game right now, where you're giving it to him 2-3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and now you're asking him to decide which hole he wants to hit, I don't think he's playing with enough confidence and vision to do that successfully. You haven't seen that version of Isaiah Pacheco in a year. We haven't seen that version of Isaiah Pacheco since the injury. So maybe some of it is just an acknowledgement of where you are as an offense and with the personnel that you have, and just try to create an offense that just, I'm trying to get our offensive linemen going downhill. We're going to use our big guys to push your big guys back, and let's run the football effectively. I'm not saying the Chiefs need to be in the I formation wing T Nebraska offense from 1993, but what they are doing offensively is not sustainable, and it's really hard to beat good teams like Baltimore, I think, is a good team, or Detroit is a good team. It's just hard to beat those kind of teams when you don't have a running game and you're asking your quarterback to, A, not make mistakes in the passing game and run for 50, 60 yards. It's just a lot, and we've talked about margin of error. So you're asking your quarterback to do that. You're asking him to also be your lead run option. You can't force turnovers. This defense just doesn't really force turnovers. You got to be able – it's just a lot of things that you got to do. I would be trying to figure out ways to make things as simple as possible. One thing I think they can do is in the running attack and just line up under center and just run the football. Here is Andy Heck talking about Juwan Taylor and the illegal formation penalties that we've seen so far in his career.
Now, there, when he's getting called, those are good calls. I mean, he's too deep. You get, your helmet's got to break the plane. I think, you know, as a very prideful player, one of the things Juwan takes a lot of pride in is he's going to give himself every advantage that he can. He's going to be on that snap count. And what we're telling him is, hey, that's not necessarily an advantage every time. Like, in fact, it can get you in trouble if you're too quick, you're too deep, that's creating too much space. And so, but he does take a lot of pride in what he's doing there.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to leave Juwan Taylor alone today. I really am. I'm going to leave Juwan alone. We talked enough about him yesterday. I compared him to a high-priced steakhouse, and you're not getting the money. It's okay. I got it. I don't want to just come on here and complain every day about something that's not going to change. Juwan Taylor, he's been the most penalized player since he's been here. They will have to continue to overcome the penalties, and at least in the short term, they have made a determination that he is going to stay on the field. I got to accept that answer. I don't love the answer, but I got to accept the answer. So on Sunday, we all know it's going to happen. You're going to see a penalty on the offense. We all know who it's going to be on. It's not going to be a question for everybody else. I can't be mad. I got to accept it. They've accepted it. We're still having questions about how he lines up incorrectly. We've been having these conversations. Now we're heading into year three. He's been doing this now for two consecutive football seasons. So, okay. All right. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I've accepted this is the Chiefs just have the most penalized player. And at some point on Sunday, he is going to commit a penalty that is going to turn a 2nd and 5 back into a 2nd and 10. And the Chiefs offense is just going to have to overcome the penalty that happens from Juwan Taylor. He has 7 so far through their first 3 games. He'll probably have 9 through their first 4. That is one thing that you can count on in watching the Chiefs play. Last cut I want to play for you guys. This was Andy Heck. He was asked, where's Jalen Moore at? He gives a really long, detailed answer about where their prime free agent is.
Not the second. I mean, Jalen's been doing a lot of good things for us. We got a lot of confidence in him. Good big body in there. Did a nice job in there in that 4 minute.
That was it. Rob, that's all he said.
Nice big body.
That's all he said.
I actually kept the first part in there. I could have cut that part.
Okay, I'm just asking. Jalen Moore, I'm here to tell you, man, you ain't never getting off the bench. I'm serious. You ain't never getting off the bench.
That definitely not the answer that makes it seem like Juwan Taylor's getting Wally pipped anytime soon.
They got you glued to it, my boy. You ain't getting off the bench anytime soon.
That's something a college football coach says, and they're like, hey, your quarterback's struggling. You think about going to the backup? Oh, he's a good kid. Studies hard.
Okay. All right, let's move on. I have reached that point of acceptance. If they're cool with it, I got to be cool with it. Now we got to try to figure out a way to work around it. They're not going to Jalen Moore this week. They're confident in Juwan. He takes great pride in his work. Outside of the penalties, he does a great job. So, okay, I got to take them at their word. The Ravens got 0 sacks on Sunday or Monday. I just want to point that out. So on Tuesday, like, oh, why are you being negative? We just watched the Ravens defensive line on Monday Night Football. They got 0 sacks. They also didn't stop the run either. They didn't do either one of those things. They didn't get to the other team's quarterback, and they didn't stop the run. So just something that we should note, just something to pay attention to. something that we will revisit at a later date. Coming up on the other side, we were joined by the pregame and postgame host for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll play the best of what he had to say to get you ready for Sunday's matchup. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We are going to get to the best of Cordell Woodland here coming up in just a bit. We were talking about Xavier Worthy. He is scheduled to be back for the Chiefs. If you look at his last 10 games, he averages around 6 catches for 70 yards. He has 6 touchdowns in those 10 games as well. The Chiefs could use another playmaker. Xavier Worthy is certainly going to be a breath of fresh air for this Chiefs offense. So earlier today, we had the pregame and the postgame host for the Baltimore Ravens on the show. We started our conversation with, we know how the Chiefs are 1-2. How have the Ravens fallen to 1-2 so far this season?
Well, they can't stop anybody. That's for one. Struggled to get that Bills offense off the field, especially as that game started to slip away from them. Pivotal moments in the game, especially at the end of the first half in that Bills game where they allowed them to steal 3 points away, just mental errors, poor tackling, not being able to get to the quarterback. That was a major issue. 0 sacks for them Monday night against the Detroit Lions in a game where they just couldn't stop the Lions at all. And what's really concerning is the Ravens can't seem to stop the run game these days. The Lions, 224 rush yards on them. James Cook had a pretty good day. I thought Quinshon Judkins was able to look solid against the Ravens in week 2. So defense, their number one issue. And Derrick Henry not being able to hold on to the football all of a sudden has kind of bit them in 2 of these 3 losses as well, or 2 of the 3 games, I should say.
Right now, we're talking to Cordell Woodland, taking a closer look at the Baltimore Ravens ahead of their matchup on Sunday against the Chiefs in week 4. You mentioned the fumbles from Derrick Henry. How concerned are you about these? Is this just kind of one of those, it's just a rough stretch, or is this sign that there's a possible decline for Derrick Henry?
I mean, you have to have some level of concern, right? I mean, he's fumbled in 3 straight games. And he's done it in pivotal moments of the game. There's never a great time to fumble the football, but it just feels like the times that it has come for him in the Buffalo game definitely was a huge part of that game swinging. And the Detroit game, I mean, he fumbles deep in his own territory. The defense actually stood up and only held Detroit to 3, keeping it as a 1-possession game deep in the second half. So they still had a chance, but yeah, it's, for me, it's the issue of when these fumbles are happening. And the reality is, it's not like this is a typical back that when they start having some ball security issues, you know, you're threatening their playing time. You're threatening to start playing the guy behind them. There is nobody behind Derrick Henry. I mean, Justice Hill's there. Keaton Mitchell's been a healthy scratch to this point in the season. There's nobody competing with Derrick Henry in terms of his playing time. So he has to figure it out because they're going to continue to play him. And I think he will. I don't think if we're talking about the decline of Derrick Henry, I don't think the fumbles will be the primary thing. If it is that, I think it'll just be him not being able to kind of make something out of nothing as often as he has in the past, but I do think over time these fumbles will go away.
The Ravens were sacked 7 times. Lamar was sacked 7 times on Monday night. Is that Lamar holding on to the ball too long? Is this indicative of a problem with the offensive line? You mentioned it. They didn't get any pressure on Jared Goff. The Lions got all the pressure on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, a little bit of everything. You don't get sacked 7 times and it's all on the offensive line. I am a believer that too many sacks, it does become a quarterback stat. And just watching that game, I think some of it was Detroit having a really good game plan, a really good scheme, and I thought they did a really good job of kind of disguising their pressure, disguising who the spy was, and I thought they did a good job of where they put the spy. A lot of the times the spy would line up right at the line of scrimmage, and he'd back off, but he's standing right there, I mean, maybe a yard or two behind the defensive line. He's not going very far. So Lamar didn't have a lot of space to really get out of there. And I do think some of it is Lamar's holding the ball a little too long, or he's taking too long to the side to take off. And it's a double-edged sword with Lamar, because him holding the ball too long and making something out of nothing is what makes him so great. So I'm not going to sit here and praise him when he fumbles a snap and then all of a sudden stiff arms a guy and throws a 40-yard touchdown pass, but then throw tomatoes at him when he's taking sacks for holding the ball too long. It's what comes with it. But he's got to be quicker with his decision-making, I think. And I do think the Ravens have to do a better job of not giving him all these long developing routes, especially when you see that the pressure has been getting there over the course of the game. Hopefully that's a big change for them this week, knowing when to go to some of the quick passing game.
Maybe you think it's too early to have this thought, but this is certainly a thought that's crossed my mind. I'm sure you've been asked this question or you've heard this sentiment before. I wonder if the Ravens are just going to be this generation's Houston Rockets. Like the Houston Rockets with James Harden, they were a great regular season team, and they would always just kind of bump their head against the Warriors or against the Thunder. I wonder if that's going to end up being the case for this Ravens team. They lost to Buffalo in the regular season. They lost to him in the postseason. Lamar is 1-5 against Mahomes in the regular season, never beaten Josh Allen in the postseason, never beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Do you feel like they're, like this window is still open for the Ravens? Do you still trust their ability to one day get over the hump and be a championship team?
Yeah, I mean, I do think their window is still open. Lamar is still as elite as they come, and as long as he's upright, they'll have a chance. They still have a ton of talent on this team. They're also banged up. You know, I mentioned Madubuike and Van Noy. Ronnie Stanley hasn't practiced this week, so, I mean, it's looking like a big question mark over at left tackle for this game, and we'll see what that looks like going forward. But injuries were the big thing for me coming into this year that I was concerned about, because they have been relatively healthy these last couple of seasons and haven't been able to capitalize on that in the postseason. You mentioned the Rockets. I think at least for me, the big difference between the two teams is watching the Rockets throughout the Rockets aren't built for the postseason. They were exciting in the regular season, and Harden will put up all these big numbers against these teams in the regular season. But you get in the postseason and teams able to game plan against you. I just didn't think that the Rockets roster-wise was built for the postseason, whereas the Ravens, I mean, you got backfield with Lamar and Derrick Henry. They've got all pros and pro bowlers on the offensive line, defensive line. I mean, literally at every level on the defense, they have a household name. Zay Flowers was great last year. The Ravens should be built to win in the postseason, but they just haven't been able to do it, at least not do it enough. So I think until they do it, the questions will be there. But I also think as long as Lamar Jackson is in town, they'll always have a shot.
Right now, we're taking a closer look at the Baltimore Ravens. These two teams are 1-2. Cordell, which team do you think needs this game more? Do you think it's Kansas City or Baltimore?
You know, that's funny. I've actually been trying to figure that part out myself. It's amazing that both of these teams are in a position to where they could be going into week 5 at 1-3. It's crazy to think, but I guess with the ways that the divisions are set up, I guess this is a bigger game for Kansas City in my mind, because the Chargers, at least right now, they look legit. And I do think the Chargers could be a good team. I'm not going to sit here and think that I'm buying that the way that the Chargers have looked to this point is who they are this year. I got to see it over the course of time because I know how they can be. Denver is solid. I mean, that division is better than the AFC North. So if you look at it like that, sure, I think this is a bigger game for the Chiefs. But I also think it's a big game for the Ravens because they lose this game. They've now lost to all the three teams that they faced to this point that were playoff teams last year, that are teams that have true Super Bowl aspirations. And for me, it would mean something to me, the fact that the Ravens just seem like they can't beat a good team. That's how I would be able to take it right now. And the schedule doesn't get any easier. They got Houston after you guys, and then the Rams before the bye week. So you start to ask, can they beat some of these good teams, especially in tight game situations late in the game? So I think they both have questions they need to answer. But because of the way that the divisions are set up, I do believe it's a bigger game for the Chiefs.
That was Cordell Woodland, who covers the Baltimore Ravens. He does the pre and the post game. He is their Ravens insider. So special thanks to him for popping on to the show. Coming up, we have an update regarding the Truman Sports Complex. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get out of here, I want to read you guys something. This is a story that's on Fox 4's website. It's by our good friend, Jonathan Katz. Oh, this is good. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe said Thursday that it is now up to Kansas City leaders to finalize a plan to keep the Chiefs in Missouri. Governor Kehoe has already signed the state's financial incentives to cover half of the cost. The remaining costs may require a local tax, which will be voted on by Kansas City or Jackson County residents. He also goes on to give some quotes, and I think you guys got it. I think I've read enough. If you were telling me that it's down to the leaders in Kansas City to come up with a plan to keep the Chiefs here, when are they moving? You guys got like a date in mind? Like, when's the move-in date, if that's the case? Now, you guys know, I would consider Quentin Lucas to be a friend. Not just like a friend of the show, like a friend in real life. If it's relying on him to bring this thing home, I don't know, man. It's a little sketchy if that's the case. You can't feel good about the position you're in with Kansas City if it's now on them. You mean they got to figure out a plan for the Chiefs and the Royals? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hey, good luck, man. I'm going to keep holding out hope. You know, I'm always going to cheer for the home team, you know? I'm always going to cheer for the home team. But it ain't looking good. You would also like to know that Governor Mike Kehoe, he also hinted that a decision could be coming in the next couple of months. I mean, it's coming up. It's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. You know what? This is what I would say. I'm serious. If it's bad news, they need to release it around Christmas. Just release it around Christmas. if they got a stadium update that's, hey, we're moving, why don't you release that on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? Just release it then.
You think, no chance. I don't know this. The last couple of years, the Chiefs have done a Christmas pop-up bar. You think they're going to have announced, hey, in the midst of all your holly jolly and you come to our stadium.
Here.
By the way, the stadium's closing. We're going to border up. No way they do
that's
that.
That's what they should do.
It's going to be like the Tuesday after the Super Bowl. They're like, hey, you guys having a good time?
No, they don't have to do it. Why don't they just leak the information to one of the local news stations and then just no comment until you're ready to tell us? That's what I would do it. Right before the Christmas Day game against the Broncos. Hey, we got something to tell you guys. We're actually moving. This place is a dump. We've been telling you it's a dump for years. You didn't believe us. We got everything figured out over on Kansas. It's nice over here. The roads are smooth. There's no potholes over here. We love it over here.
So you're saying Jonathan Kitts leaks it on Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Then Mark Donovan meets the media and says no decisions have been made, but everyone knows, hint, hint, wink, wink, decisions
that's
have been made.
That's what I'm saying. Before we get out of here, I want to tell you guys this story. So a friend of mine is in town and my friend wanted to go out yesterday. Well, it's a Wednesday in Kansas City. There's not a lot of places that are really popping on a Wednesday. Maybe there are. I don't know. So he said, you know, why don't we go to one of the local, adult establishments? And I was like, all right, if that's what you want to do, fine, I'll go. So I agreed to go. Got in the car. We drove. You know, we're listening to music. We're catching up. You know, he's in town for the game. He's in town to see family. You know, all of that. Cool. I'm happy to go with you. You're my brother. I love you. I care about you. We walk into this place, and I'm not joking. I'm really not joking. This is the first song that I heard. Scotty doesn't know. I really wanted to leave immediately because I realized that what I thought of music appropriate for the setting and what they think is appropriate, we're not on the same page. We're not simpatico. But you want to know where they got me? They got me with this. So you know how it is. Like, you got to buy a drink there, right? Like, all right, cool. Get a drink. My drink and his drink, it was $7. He got a whiskey soda. I had a Miller Lite. It was $7. I was like, you know, this place might not be that bad. Might actually be kind of fun. You're right. Maybe Scotty doesn't know. I wasn't sure. So you're sitting there, you know, you're just vibing and you're having a good time. And next thing I know, this song came on. About the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. Rob, I started picking up my wallet and my keys. And I determined right then and there, hey, man, it's time to go, man. What do you mean? I just don't think we're on the same page tonight. I'm not saying you got to play the most latest hippity hop, but there are songs that are made for these occasions. What's My Age Again by Blink-182 is just not one of those songs. It's not one of those records. It was a real Two Americas moment. That was my evening, if you were wondering. I'm not going back today. I got other things to do. Thursday night football today.
I mean, Cardinals, Seahawks, come on.
You know, I might actually go back. I might actually go back. Hey, y'all got the game on in here? Can you turn the sound on? We watch the sound while we're in here? Have you a great time. All right, we'll be back tomorrow to get you ready for Sunday's game. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.